And I needed those extra years to get used to just how I am and being like, oh, I actually, I like myself more than a lot of other people. And I always want to be right with myself before other people.
So today on Dear Queer, we're talking about things that we would tell our younger selves. I guess this is something that maybe has been on my mind more recently. It's something that I think comes to you more as you get a little older too, mm-hmm. right? Because there's more to look back on. And when we're younger, we're looking ahead. And we don't know what's there. And now once you hit, you know, your 30s, and now I've hit my 40s too, you start to turn backwards in a way that you hadn't before because you just didn't have any perspective. And so I thought it might be fun to see all of our different takes on that. What are some things that we would tell our younger selves? Like, what are some, you know, wisdom, words of wisdom we might give to help our younger self, or and hopefully that will help some other younger people out there that might be listening, or older people too, because it can hit you at any age, these different lessons, right? Whether it's like avoiding mistakes or finding themselves sooner, or questions to ask themselves that we really benefited from. So that's what I had in mind for today. And we have Nick joining us again. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So stoked. Thank you for having me back.
You're becoming a Dear Queer regular.
Mm-hmm. Household name.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I'm curious to see what has sort of come to all of us on our own, because there might be some overlap, but there might be some things that neither of us like had considered as well.
Mm. I think too, when you were saying about guidance for our younger selves and things that can help them, it's so interesting because I remember when I was younger, you feel like you know so much, and you always feel so much older than you actually are. And like
I wish to be older. You keep thinking you are.
You think you know so much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of that is true. You're kind of drinking from the fire hose when you're a teenager, and stuff is changing all the time, and you're learning new things. Yeah. But looking back, I see teenagers now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the stuff I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I think we get humbled over the years. Like we get slowly humbled and are just increasingly taught how little we know.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, I will say watching the students now is extremely humbling.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, seeing what they're doing on college campuses in the States and Canada, and it's emotional. Sorry.
It is. No, it's inspiring. And I was particularly moved by a video that I saw recently of students in the States who were like, this is a generation that has grown up being terrified to go to school.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've been growing up doing active shooter drills and learning these techniques to help them keep themselves safe because the government won't.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're using those tactics to keep themselves separate from the police and to not allow the police to get into some of these campus they've set up, which is like the most, I just got chills, the most like brilliant twist to be like, listen, it's kind of like we have had to learn how to do this against our will, basically. We had to. And like, it's like a poetic kind of F you in a way too, to be like, we're taking a stand now and these are one of our tactics we're using.
Yeah, it's the, we keep us safe.
Yeah.
And
we've
had to this whole time because the generation above us has dropped the ball, lost the plot, and all of those things. And it's cool. It's, you know, we're talking about what we would tell our younger selves, but I'm still learning from the younger generation on how to show up in this movement. And I think it's really beautiful.
Well, and it's also a generation that has been so dismissed by older generations too, like calling snowflakes and this and that and soft, and they don't want to work so much and all this stuff, but like, no, they're just learning lessons earlier.
Yeah.
that maybe you have come to realize, oh, work-life balance matters. Oh, capitalism isn't all it's cut out to be. Yeah. Like, they've grown up knowing those things.
Yeah.
I also think us as millennials, we were kind of like the last generation to be fooled.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep it going. And we were the last ones, the first to start questioning it, but we didn't, we did something about it. But I think also just when the internet blew up, when we were that age and a little younger even, and then we didn't connect as well. And I think everyone feels very, very connected to each other. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think one thing I would tell my younger self is to be less ignorant and to care more, because I definitely did trust the quote unquote system to just, yep, I am this person. I am a shining boy. The world will take care of me as long as I do everything right. Yeah. And I definitely did think that because I had all the adults around me
reinforcing
that is how the world works. And I think we were the generation, especially like on social media, being like, oh yeah, you're a millennial if, or you're, and just kind of talking about our struggles and our frustrations with what we didn't know. And they're not going to not learn from that. They're wise to it and they believe us because we're a lot of their bosses now as well.
Yeah.
Right.
That was one of my points, was actually my first point when I was taking some notes yesterday, was question everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Because I grew up in a very kind of conservative home, religious household and school and everything. And actually, there's a lack of critical thinking that comes with of religious indoctrination.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so much like, this is how you should be. This is what the truth is. And this is, you know, and your family reinforces that and your peers do. And so I really have to applaud the younger generation now who is questioning everything.
Yeah.
There's a false sense of safety in not questioning and just going with it because the masses are. Oh. So that's what I think, well, I did, or we, maybe millennials did, but now the younger generation isn't. And if I could go back and do it again or inform my younger self, I would make sure that I'm paying more attention.
Yeah.
For sure.
This generation of students has grown up with technology and, you know, you can turn on your phone and see what's going on in the world, in Palestine, in all of these places. And it's like, no, you can't tell us this isn't happening.
Yeah.
You can't tell us that, you know, the system isn't rigged or corrupt.
Yeah, there's a benefit in that kind of exposure, which I mean, I didn't have the internet until I was in university and I had to go to a computer lab to use it. So it was like, I wasn't exposed early on to differing ideas. So there's one definite blessing of this early exposure is we have these kids and these teens and these young adults who are really brave.
Yeah, yeah. It's so beautiful. Yeah, I think we were fumbling around. I remember people passing around like L Word DVDs, you know? Right. We're like,
low tech.
Yeah, seriously, low tech. I'm like, ooh, queer people exist. Yeah. Wow. I thought it was just me.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good. I love that you started there, Lauren, because it's one thing, like, we don't want to come from a position where we're like, we have figured it all out. We know everything. And it's not just about assuming that younger people don't know a lot of stuff. So I appreciate that we started there.
What is it, bi-directional? Or it's like, you know, the flow of information goes up and down. We can all learn from each other. And I think that's the beautiful part about what's going on now. And yeah, I think even in these really challenging times, we're seeing a lot of beauty and things grow through the cracks. And I'm excited to see what comes next.
What other stuff came to mind when we thought about this topic, when we approached it?
For me, it was definitely my experience as a queer person and doing everything I could to hide, repress, deny, distract from that topic at all. It was a full-time job, I found, as someone who's very social and had a lot of friends growing up and just jumping from group to group and just trying to navigate, okay, who's on to me? Like, it was just, it's exhausting.
Right.
And I was actually speaking to my partner right last night going to bed about just some social issues and some how we fit in the world and with our friends and family and such. And I was just like, we kind of just need to not care. And if I could give myself one piece of advice, it would be care a lot less. And something that just came out of my mind, out of my mouth, that I didn't even see it coming, was like, what other people think of you isn't really your business.
Yeah.
Like, it's their business. And you can just go through and like know that you are doing it right. You're a good person. Keep doing what you believe in. And you'll naturally attract the ones who vibe with it. And the ones who aren't on that frequency will naturally go, like, move on. And mm-hmm. we don't wish them ill, or we don't not love them anymore. Or someone could bring up their name and we still celebrate them, but we just don't spend our time with them. Maybe they don't share our values anymore. And it's okay. So I was just basically like, that was the advice I was giving to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And knowing that this podcast was happening in the morning, I was like, that's what I would tell myself younger too.
Yeah.
I was trying so hard to fit in. I even said the words like pounding your chest to be noticed in a social situation. I was like, that's what I did for those first 2 weeks of university until Lauren met me. And I was like, oh, is this really what university is going to be? This sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, ugh. And I just took a sigh of relief, and then the rest of it played out naturally. So
that was one of my points too. I wrote, don't let other people tell you who you are, or that idea of like, don't be afraid to be yourself.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously when we're young and in a family and that is our safety, mm-hmm. That can be harder to do. And so, you know, that's why there is the hiding and the worrying and who's on to you and this and that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. It's like that idea that fitting in versus belonging piece, where like fitting in is changing yourself to fit in, to be amongst the people who you're around, but to be authentic, versus belonging is that idea of just being your authentic self, which might mean that you only belong to yourself in that moment and don't actually vibe with anyone around you, but that's fine. Like that kind of knowing in yourself. So it can be a lonely thing, but yeah, that was one of my points too. This idea that, cause we grow up being told who we are, and it's not even always explicit. Like it's not, sometimes it is like, you know, sometimes it's a parent saying, you're going to be such a good mom, or you're going to be this, or you should be this when you're older. And sometimes it is that explicit, but it's not always. It's those like nonverbal things and the energies that people bring to you that kind of tell you who you should be.
Yep.
And, you know, that continues. Our first 10, 20 years of our lives are people trying to kind of form us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful thing. And then it's our responsibility after that, or if we can do it sooner, great, is to unpack that and peel that back and say, okay, well, which parts of those were what they thought I should be, and mm-hmm. which parts of those are actually me, and maybe those two things aren't the same.
Some of them will align, but a lot of them won't, I've learned.
Yeah.
I think too, it's this interesting thing that happens where I think when we're younger, like really young, I think there's this where we are kind of more, we're not really thinking about it. We're more, so much more naturally ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like when I look back at photos of me as like, you know, 8 or 10 and like basically before puberty, I look like a young boy. I look like my brothers. I'm wearing the baggy shorts and oversized shirts and like
backwards
probably
hats.
Dressed closer to how I dress now.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing that happens, I think, when we go through puberty, where we are suddenly aware and we become like, we see the gaze now.
Mm-hmm. Well, in peer pressure in high school and the older kid dynamic.
Some people are going through puberty and you're like, oh, they're changing. I'm not there yet. Yeah. Or I'm changing and my friends aren't there. And that's when I think we really become hyper aware. And to what you said, Nick, about looking, you know, people don't care. It really is us who care. And we are so good at putting on the like lenses of what we think is expected, whether or not like it's the story we tell ourselves, I think is what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So so my mom's been listening to the podcast.
Shout out.
Hi, Heather. She was telling me about the books beside my bed. And apparently she had a friend come over and look at the books and was like, oh, is your daughter gay? Just based on what I had on my nightstand.
Right.
I probably had like Into the Wild and like, you know, whatever.
But is this recent or when you were younger?
When I lived at home, like when I was younger.
Okay.
But she told me the story recently.
Right.
Okay.
I'm learning all these things now about like the signs and things. And it's like, oh yeah, they knew all that stuff, but they weren't saying anything to me about it. They were letting me kind of come into my own and figure it out. But it was more the stories I was telling and how I thought I had to perform and do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this internalized thing that I thought I had to do, but didn't really.
But the land was laid for you.
Yes.
To be like, this is there was like a target that kind of people got you. Like, you should kind of land in here somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we worry about the consequences about not landing in there.
Yeah.
Because there are consequences.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's why representation matters so much, because I think I would have been a lot more accepting of myself when I, those things that I was like trying to hide and deny and distract, was because there was no other queer kid that I knew of in the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Like, still looking back, I don't think there was. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there have been developments since.
Yeah.
But there wasn't the other obviously gay kid. Like, when I was in grade six, I still have my bowl cut and it was great. But I would have like little grade ones on the schoolyard come up to me and say like, are you a boy or are you a girl? And like say that to me. Yeah.
I have that all the time.
I know. And people, and like, because little kids are so unapologetically themselves and they just were curious. And I was like, oh, I gotta, like, I'm gonna clock this. I gotta butch up, or I gotta, like, I don't know what it was.
I gotta butch down.
De-butch. But the, like the things you learn, and it's these little things that happen that signal to you, okay, you're dropping the ball on this, Nick.
They're little correctives.
Yeah, your little 7-year-old self running around in the baggy shirts, whatever, needs to change, because you're not fooling anyone and you are starting to care a lot more.
Well, yes. I think it was okay for me to be a tomboy when I was younger, and then it was less so. Like, oh, I remember being so stressed about school dances and any of those kind of more
boy-girl
things. And oh my gosh, I wore a dress to my high school prom, and like, it was a nice dress, and my mom was like super sweet about taking me shopping for it. But like, looking back, I didn't even think a suit was an option.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even on as an option. And I wish I did wear a suit to prom.
Or at least a power blazer or something.
A big oversized coat. One. Yeah.
Just Ellen DeGeneres style.
Which is so funny, because I went to a school that had uniforms and I wore a suit and tie every day.
That's so funny.
And like, it wasn't even on my radar that I could wear a suit to prom.
Yeah.
So maybe I'd tell, I think I'd tell myself, my younger, I don't know.
Wear the suit.
Well,
that's what I celebrate so much now. And I don't know if it's because they're being taught this in school or because they have more role models or cool aunts and uncles like us to be like, just be gay. Mm-hmm. But
like
11-year-old non-binary kids in school being themselves, or dabbling with makeup sooner to express themselves, and like, I just going to prom, and you hear these stories and I'm just like, man, I wish that was true. But I also just, everyone in my school, from what I can confidently say, no one was queer.
Yeah.
So it just, what, there was no interest to like have those kinds of things. Even if it was today, I don't think anyone would have been doing that, because everyone's married with kids and they're straight relationships, and that's just the environment I grew up with. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, like, I think there's a lot more of a openness towards it, and almost like desirability to express yourself earlier now. And that's what I kind of wish I would have just told myself back then, to be more okay with myself. And I think it would have been so much more of a fun childhood and adolescence,
and
mostly.
Yeah. And that might have, I mean, there's so much to look back on. You could be like, that might have, then people would have found me, because they would have maybe felt freedom to do that. It's like, all it takes is that one person. Actually, it's the second person too. You know, you can only like, I think there's, I forget that. Have you seen that famous viral YouTube video? I don't know how famous it is, but it's like some, at some concert, and there's one person dancing on a hill.
Yeah.
And then like it, and that's not enough though. Like, you need that second person. Cause after that second person, it's like 8 people, 10 people, pretty soon everyone on the hill is dancing.
It's hard to be the first.
It is hard to be the first. Yeah. Right. But then also it's easy to say, oh, look at that weirdo dancing. I'm just going to stay over here. That's so embarrassing. It's that second thing to be like, let's go.
Well, and you know, so it sounds like we're all saying what we would tell, kind of the things we would tell our younger selves is like, be you, be unafraid. But it's like, how do you do that?
How do you do that?
I've been told one time by a straight friend that I was obviously being invited to their wedding because I would be the one to get the dance floor started because I'm queer, or it was a largely straight wedding. And I thought that I felt really good hearing that. Mm-hmm. And I was the one, the first one out there dancing with my friend that I brought, and like, it was a lot of fun. And I'm like, okay, that's how people see us. Like, we should just be that then.
Yeah. So maybe it's starting small and dipping a toe, and then once you start seeing that the whole world isn't going to fall down around you, and actually the people you meet and the way you can show up for others you know, it reinforces that. Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I know I didn't know anything about boundaries growing up, but I guess there's something to be said for that too, which as a kid, I mean, you don't know that you can set them, especially with family or parents or like, but there is that kind of sense of like, I don't know how to put it. Well, actually, have you seen Baby Reindeer yet?
No.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Just started last night.
Okay, I will tell you one line from it.
I'm one episode in.
Okay, I'm not going to... Well, I don't want to ruin anything. As a character, I'll try to not be too spoilery, but it's a little bit... Who basically goes to his parents and is like, I'm maybe bi, maybe gay or something. But basically, like, I need to figure that out and be one of those people, because if I can't, I don't think I'll survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I can't keep this all inside anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be me. And so you're picking basically between a son who is going to survive or not.
Yeah. The stakes are high. Which one is
it? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so the stakes are high, right? And I guess that's the hardest thing when you're younger is to face that fear of a potential negative consequence. And like, frankly, when you're a kid and you rely on your parent, on a parent or family for like a roof over your head,
it's not always available.
No, but maybe that's where a peer group where you can be yourself comes into play. Maybe at school you start being more yourself and finding those groups that actually support that and where you can be authentic, until maybe you can bring that to your home as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting too what you said about boundaries is when we're younger, boundaries are always imposed and set on us. We are very good at, you know, taking in the boundaries of school and the rules and our parents. And it is realizing that we can actually set our own.
Yeah.
And I think that's really great advice. It's like finding your sweet spot where you can be yourself. And then it starts expanding out like a ripple.
So this reminds me of another point I've written, which is listen to yourself. That idea of like, of trying to get in touch with that inner voice and that inner self, like that gut feeling that so often gets overruled, right? Like as a girl, you're younger. Oh, just let so-and-so hug you or give so-and-so a hug. And you're like, I don't want to. Like,
yeah.
But just do it. Like, be uncomfortable, you know?
For their comfort.
Yeah, for their comfort, right? And that idea of just being in touch with that gut and knowing like, no, I don't. This is how I genuinely feel. And I'm not going to let other people tell me otherwise. So like getting in touch with that inner voice about how things make you feel and like in your body too, right? Because I don't think we learn that as kids. We don't learn to identify what's in our body and how that corresponds to our feelings. Like if we're freezing up for some reason, if we have like a pit in our stomach, those things mean something. And those are emotions trying to tell us something.
It's your central nervous system telling you to behave differently than what's about to happen.
Right. Or this is not safe. Absolutely. A lot of these points we brought up are all about kind of getting aligned with ourselves earlier on.
I think that's true for anyone growing up. I think especially for queer people, because we just have this societal thing imposed on us that we are different and we should be either ashamed of it or hiding or whatever it is.
Yep.
Everyone just has to learn who they are as they're getting older and learn about their boundaries. But you also just have to trust yourself. I think even looking back before how I was, knowing now I'm kind of like, how was I like that? I'm so not like that anymore. I'm the first one to like not care if anyone thinks I'm gay now. And I'm like, I came out when I was 22, just before 20, like almost 23. Like, how did it take me so long? And I'm just like,
Don't even talk to me about it.
I know. Yeah, I was like, but I mean, different times, sure. But also just getting older. And I think I was trying so hard to be someone else that other people liked, as opposed to just being like someone I liked. And I needed those extra years to get used to just how I am and being like, oh, I like myself more than a lot of other people. And I always want to be right with myself before other people. And now I'll tell anyone I'm uncomfortable. No, I don't want to. I'm not going to that. Yes, I want you. I don't want you there. Like, I'm so boundaried and comfortable with who I am, because I feel that's the only way I can respect myself.
Yep.
And I 100% respect myself now more than I did when I was younger, but it's because I wasn't living for me back then. And I think everyone has a certain degree of that growing up. Queer people, I think, probably more so. So I'm kind and I'm easy on myself, but I'm so envious of the kids today. Mm-hmm. Like just watching romance or love stories about like people in late teenhood or something. And I'm just like, I never had that. Mm-hmm. I never had a crush on anyone in my high school. I was with the same kids since kindergarten to high school. I was like, I never once had a crush on any of them. I didn't go through that kind of thing. It would have been nice to, or had I had like really given into that and explored or allowed myself to even think the thoughts. I don't know. It would have just been so beautiful. So I'm envious of those
the
kids.
The show
today.
Sex Education has made me feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You see like, I don't know, this might sound creepy, but but like, no, when you see queer younger couples, I get so stoked.
I know.
It's the first time for straight people. You always see like a Walk to Remember, like all, like it's always high school boy, high school girl, mm-hmm. fall in love, have the drama, dropping the books at their locker. Like it is just such a trope that it is normal for straight people. So it shouldn't be different because it's queer kids, but it's something I was envious, and I'm just happy that the world, I think we're the last generation that's going to be afraid to be, take a same-sex person to prom, you know, or whatever it might be.
I think we should do a part two. There's been a lot of good stuff here so far, but I think we have more to talk about. So
will you stay with us?
Okay.
I'll be here. I'll stay.
Thanks for joining us on Dear Queer. We'll see you again next week for part two. If you share our episodes, that means a lot to us too.
This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts, who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papianis.
I'm getting that.